Hi, team. Welcome to the SWTOR Escape Podcast, a Star Wars The Old Republic cast where we talk for a while about what's going on in the galaxy and stuff like how to properly mix a chilled Corellian cocktail.
Ooh, that sounds good.
As usual, we'll soon shove another astromech out the airlock to bring this cast to you. Are you recording this, SEPCO2? Excellent. Hi, Seema. How's it going?
It's going really well, although right about now I could really use a cocktail. But this week
yes,
I've been...
Yes, a chilled Corellian cocktail.
Yeah. I've been, for some reason, very into the CZ-198 dailies all of a sudden. I think it's partially because I enjoy playing with Treak, and now I have a Treak for like three of my characters, and I run around with her and just destroy the dailies there. I even got my Shadow out of the bin and dusted her off and ran her through some dailies there too. I really like how BioWare has tweaked the dailies there, so now they're just a fun little quick run you can do, you know, with your morning coffee or your afternoon tea or your 5 o'clock cocktail before you get into your serious SWTOR business of the day. And I also did a few things that you were involved in too.
Yeah, I agree on the CZ-198. I think that idea that the flashpoint that you need to do, the hard mode, you can do as a two-person story mode, and some classes can even solo it, is a really nice change of pace.
I like that too.
I know we jumped in it one of the nights, and we were going to mess around and do hard modes, but we were running short on time, so we took four overgeared people into the two-person story mode version of those flashpoints and just... plowed through them, but it was, yep. You know, it was cool. It was fun. You get to see the bosses and it's quick.
And you get your purple rep token. That's what we wanted.
Yes. Yeah. It's Monday night. I haven't turned in. I didn't finish that second one that I needed to do. I'm going to be behind on rep. I'm never going to get that speeder, which is awesome. But I'm going to have to do something to grind that rep. But also you mentioned Treak. I am getting a kick out of Treak. What characters do you have Treak on that you're using Treak a lot?
She's like ideal for my Sork and my Sage. I should say I have two Sorks actually and a Sage. And those are the ones that have the Treak right now. But I'm thinking about leveling up my Gunslinger who's like in her mid-30s. And I think she'll get a Treak. I think Treak would be perfect for her because Treak is a tank and she does... As a tank, she has a little bit of healing, and that's like a perfect complement for a gunslinger, I would think.
Yeah, man, a tank that off heals, that's like so overpowered in MMO land. that is excellent. So yeah, same thing. So I use her on my sniper that I'm leveling, and I'm up to about 47 on my sniper. And I use Treak all the time. I switch to Treak. I think I mentioned it last week because Kaleo is a brat. And I had to kick her out. Treak's been great. And Treak says a lot of fun things like...
Yeah, Treak Girota.
And, which was good luck, Chief. You know, she's always calling you Chief. I love that.
I do too.
And she's relatively violent, which is part of her backstory. So things like... You have foes. I will kill them all.
She is adorably awesome. Bloodthirsty. Yeah, she is.
So even when she's chattering all the time, having it in that little Ewok language, I do not find annoying, at least not yet. And I've been haven't had her out quite a bit. So yeah, I agree on Treak. And I have been doing some various things. So I've helped out and had fun with the AIE Amazing Race. And I know you did too. And we'll get into that in more detail shortly. I operated quite a bit, and I know you did in most of these as well. We have our Wednesday 16-person story scum and villainy. That's going pretty good. That's story mode, but we get a bunch of people into there, combined from a couple of our op teams, and other people can sub in, which is nice. We do our 8-person hard mode Terror from Beyond with the Taco Harder group on Thursday. Which is sort of like a subset of a couple of our ops teams that's trying to get through some of that hard mode content and doing pretty well. So what, we've got the first two buses on farm in Terra from Beyond without a problem, even with subbing people in who didn't know the fights. But we're still slow. We've got a short night. We only do it for what, about an hour and a half, 2 hours?
Right.
So we've been getting into operator, and in phase one in operator, just having everybody coordinate when you shoot your orb and when you got to get in the middle, and we got those damn regulators coming out and punching people in the face. And so we've been slow to get through that one. We've gone through that 2 weeks now and haven't gotten it down, but I expect we'll do it next week. Shouldn't be a problem.
But in all fairness, there's been a 2 or 3 week gap in between those two attempts.
And switching people out, right?
Yeah.
So everybody has to relearn. And let's see. Then we also did, on our Sunday night run, we did our regular Lord's Light LOL ops group and did our our regular 8-man stuff. But we're up to 8. We're up to hard mode scum and villainy on that group. And under normal circumstances, we had to sub a couple people in. Under normal circumstances, we can at least get through the first boss, and we're just starting on the second boss. We've been doing it like just one, the last half hour of the last couple of weeks. But we spent quite a bit of time on the first boss this round and didn't get through it. I think we had a couple people. Yeah, he did. I mean, just a combination. There's so many things going on. Yeah, we had a couple of people that weren't used to it and were new to it. So you got to get those people used to how to run back and avoid the rats when you get dumped out into the sandstorm. If one of those people goes down, then it's wipe. And you have to get used to killing the bats while keeping the DPS up on the boss. And if the bats chew through the generator, then it's a wipe. And man, the tanks, we have good tanks, but they got to be right on in positioning. Otherwise they're getting like whacked way out of the force field. And it's a nice little barrier to entry at the start of that instance that, you know, I appreciate that, but it was a little frustrating and a little long last night, I think.
You know, I adjusted my spec so that I could deal with the rats better, the rats that you have to escape from and kite back to the group. I went and took a talent that allows force speed to remove any movement impairing thing that's cast on you. So I can actually remove that slow they put on you every time the force speed is up. So that's made that trip back with the womp rats on your heels so much easier for me. And I would recommend that of any sorcerer. I mean, it's not in a lot of the healing specs that you see online, but for this fight, I think it's totally worth it to go grab that.
Yeah, that is important. I know we had a couple other new people. It almost seems like each class should have the list of tips and the rarely used skills and talents that you need to poke at to yeah, get that run back from those rats to work. Like on the bounty hunter, you pop the environmental shield that you buy at the start of the instance, then you do your knockback, then you do your hydraulic overrides, because hydraulic overrides removes the slow that the rats put on you, and the hydraulic overrides then gets you also the 30% speed bonus, and that alone is typically enough. But I also have on hand my Instacast. Is that thermal sensor override? I think that's one of the heat ones. But my Instacast, I can pop off a couple heals on myself if I need to. I can often, because I'm used to it, get back to the group in plenty of time, start DPSing the boss, and heal myself to full practically. What am I, a Sork?
heal to full.
Heal to full. I can get... Oh, we won't get into that.
No.
But I can get back with plenty of health. But you gotta use a whole bunch of things that you don't typically use and aren't necessarily at a prominent place on your bar, and be ready for it.
Absolutely.
And finally, I'm continuing to level up my sniper, and I'm using Treak, and it's going really well. I like the story. I'm having fun with the story. I throw in a couple matches of PvP here and there, and the sniper is nice in PvP. My son is an expert PvPer and shows me all the tricks. Although I PvP'd for a long, long time on my Vanguard, and I would love to keep that up, but don't get over to my Vanguard all that often lately. But yeah, I just finished chapter 2. I'm into chapter 3. I'm on Belsavis, and there's the planetary defense system, the prison defense system that you meet on Belsavis that, you know, without getting into spoilers, I gotta say is very cool so far. And that's pretty much what I've been up to. So that brings us to our unfathomably important news of the century of the week. As you can tell, this is important stuff, at least to us. And of course,
many Bothans died to bring us this information.
I'm sad about all the dead Bothans.
Poor Bothans. How many Bothans have died? Have enough died?
Maybe a few more.
a couple more just to make it worth it. So our news of the week, news of the century of the week in this case. What do we got?
Well, first we had our day one of the AIE Amazing Race, which was a lot of fun. Our guild leader actually did most of the designing, or pretty much all of the designing of how it was going to run. And he had clues and puzzles and roadblocks that everyone had to meet. And we the officers were placed in different areas and had our different little jobs to do to make it all come together. Your main job was to get killed by people, I think, right?
Well, I guess in theory, to get killed by people.
You might have done a little of the killing. Is that what you're saying?
The PvP battle, kill an officer best 2 out of 3 was one of the final roadblocks, and we had a variety of officers to choose from, luckily. But yeah, I don't know if anybody got me down on my mercenary, but yeah, it's not really fair because I do that pretty often. But I saw you out there kicking ass.
Well, basically, I was just running around columns and healing myself and then just dotting up people until they would eventually die.
So let me get this straight. You were healing yourself to full?
Yeah. Well, yeah. But you know what?
But you were heal-specced at the time, though, too. So PvPing
right, exactly.
As a 1v1 PvP as a heal-spec, you right. don't have much else to do but heal yourself to full. So
that's right. I don't really mind being told to heal myself when I'm a healer.
Yeah, that's an acceptable dev guidance in that case. But yeah, that was fun. The clues were cool. They were haiku clues. Send people to a couple checkpoints. And a little bit of a puzzle, figure out where you got to go. The balloon ride was cool. You were on the balloon, right?
Yes, I was on the balloon. And
I didn't get over there. I was waiting elsewhere.
Yeah. So I was on the balloon, and when it landed, then everyone who figured out the clue and knew that's where they were supposed to go. This is the balloon on Tatooine, by the way, everyone got on the balloon, including our guild leader. And then he had this trivia session all planned out for people. So we rode across Tatooine on the balloon doing Star Wars trivia. And that was that step of the journey. That was really fun. And we actually rode there and then rode back. So it was a lot of trivia.
Yeah, quite a bit of trivia. The point was, it's not supposed to be that short of an event. You know, we're going to spend some time together. And the trivia was points too. So as people answered questions, they're accumulating points towards the overall end grand prize of 1,000,000 credits. That's accumulated points over the course of the 5 weeks, which
that's
I
right.
thought is pretty cool also. So we'll see what Pell's got cooking for tomorrow night for week 2 of the Amazing Race.
Yeah, I'm really looking
cool.
forward to it.
I got some hints on what we might be doing, and I think it's very cool. So important news of the century of the week number 2, the Super Secret Space Project. So there was a community event in Seattle, and what they do at these community events is they give out a thumb drive, and they leak on purpose. They leak little things on the thumb drive to give people a preview of some things that are coming out. The one I went to, I didn't get there early enough to get a thumb drive because I'm a slacker. But they had pictures of alternative skins on Vractal mounts that we can expect to see in the game at some point. But this round, this was last week, they had a little trailer, and it was relatively short for the much anticipated super secret space project. So I know, did you hear about this, Seema?
I did, and I've seen the trailer too, and you were right, it's very short.
It's real short. There's not a lot to go on yet. If you go into the forums or you go on Reddit and take a look at what people are posting, everyone is jumping up and down for glee at all of the features and all of the super awesome implementation of this space world that they think that they're getting by the little bits of snippets of video that they've gotten to take a look at.
So you think they may be jumping ahead just a bit?
I think yes. So I learned in business that satisfaction is expectations minus reality. And I think expectations are getting quite high in some of these threads. And I don't know if any reality of what the devs can put together is going to match up with what some of these people are coming up with. I mean, to me, the trailer could have just have been a new flashpoint, a new space mission. It could have been nothing more than a new space mission. I know people are saying it's not on rails, and I expect that it's probably not on rails, but nothing in the video shows that it is or isn't on rails. You've got a ship in the middle of the screen. It could still be on rails. And there seems to be an aspect of PvP involved.
So what kinds of things are people, you know, guessing are going to be there so that this creating this huge delta between expectation and reality?
So the free roaming space movement is one of the key things. And there'll probably be some aspect of that. I couldn't see them putting out this awesome space project and not having at least some freedom of movement. But how free of movement and where you can fly and how you can fly and ship mechanics that are associated with that, that can be very difficult to implement. So people are thinking back to older, you know, space games that they've played and thinking that, you know, that's what they're going to get.
They've been hinting at this for a while now, right? Like a year?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if it turns out to be another space mission, that's not going to go over well.
Yeah, I don't think it's just another space mission. There's also been leaks of a couple little things that show that there's at least more going on. We do see in the video there's the ship that you see flying that it looks like you're piloting is not any of the existing ships that anyone pilots. So that's something different. There at least seems to be the allusion to some sort of PvP going on. That would be an interesting part of it as well. But I don't see, you know, assaults on, you know, other players' capital ships and, you know, many, many players in giant space battles and some of the stuff I've seen in some of these threads. That I do not see any way that BioWare could implement in any reasonable amount of time or with a reasonable amount of resources. And I don't want to put that on them. I've played and do play Eve on and off. And Eve is just space. There is no ground game. There's no missions. And they have been years in developing space battle in Eve. And if people think that's something easy to do or large scale space battles is something that they're actually going to get out of this, I'm afraid that their expectations might be a little bit high. Does that make sense? I'm not trying
it
to.
It makes perfect sense. Yeah. I'm just sitting here thinking that it would be awesome if people just got their socks blown off by this, whatever it turns out to be. But I'm with you.
I think the way to do that, the way to get your socks blown off, is to not get your expectations too high. Keep your expectations low and let them over-deliver. That's the way you do that. That's like what I do with my kids. Yeah, we're going to go. Let's go for a ride. We're going to the gas station. And then when we go to get ice cream, everybody's really happy. But if you lead with ice cream, then they wonder if you're going to Disney World. So you can't do it that way.
Yeah. I hear ya.
So I think that's it. What's that? Anything else on
that? So no information on a date or anything like that, right?
Nope. Not that I can see. That's another thing that I think people might be getting their hopes up a little bit on. Hey, there's a trailer out. I see these posts. I'm so glad we're finally getting this. What do you mean? what are you thinking that you're getting? You're getting a trailer. Right. I don't know if you know. You look at like Blizzard. Blizzard puts out really nice trailers about 12 to 18 months before content is released. Now, I don't think that that's going to be that in this case, but again, keep your expectations under control, and then you'll be happy when they overachieve.
Well, I'll put my socks on very loosely, so it'll be easy for them to be blown off.
There you go. Okay. So that's it for our important news of the century of the week. And now we'll get into one of our segments. And this week we're doing an Ask Us Anything. We got a question in. I know it's amazing because we don't yet have an audience, but someone sent in a question. And here, I'll read it because I'm reading this for the first time. Hi, Max and Seema. How do you keep your operation nights fresh and fun? Signed, Not Max.
Dear Not Max.
But well, we talk about this in the guild and we hear about this. So we decided to answer this question, which I think is a good one.
I would say we attack that issue in a number of ways. And the first and maybe most important to me is that when we're raiding, we want to have fun, but we also try to stay focused on the fight at hand so that everybody's sort of in step with what we're doing, and it has the potential to run smoother, which is more fun.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think Machia does a great job of the basic mechanics of running an operation to keep everyone on track enough that the mechanics can sort of get out of the way. So, you know, he's got marking down to a science. He's got we've got target of focus target down to a science. We attack the each boss and each trash pull a relatively same way. That gets us past just the grinding through getting more ads and getting knocked into more groups, and gets us past that really quickly. And allows us then to, once we're comfortable, chat and have fun and do other things.
Right.
And I know one of the other things we do, which I have recommended to other groups and we have a ton of fun with, is Turntable. So for people that don't know, Turntable is a website you go on. It's a streaming music service. And the way it works is there's 5 spots up on the stage. Each person for free can sign up for Turntable, put together a queue of music out of Turntable's library, which is pretty much anything, most any music you could think of. And as long as you have at least 2 DJs up on the stage playing through their queue list, everybody gets a turn and you play whatever music everybody's got in their queues, and you rotate, you go through, and you've got streaming music the whole night.
And it's cool because everyone plays, their music. So you get exposed to music that maybe you haven't really delved into before. And there's a little bit of a MMO aspect to it too, because you accumulate points, and the more points you get, you accumulate points by playing things, and you get points if people, thumbs up what you play. But then as you get more points, you get to change your little avatar to different cute things. So it's pretty cool. And we do it in a fairly, I would call it, casual way. I mean, we thumbs up everybody. In other words, we're not really making a judgment on, did your is your music good music? Music that I like, music that I would buy. It's just, I like you. I'm thumbs upping your music.
Yeah, it's good we don't get competitive, or Maki and I would just thumbs down each other constantly.
Yeah. Right. And you'd be...
there's not much you can do. There's no other way to be aggressive in that way. So
we'd play meaner and meaner songs at each other.
Well, we do that. So yeah. That is a fun thing to do in Turntable is if somebody plays a song before you, you can sort of quickly look something up, add it to your queue, and play it sort of in response. And yeah. that's a fun part of Turntable. We'll go off on tangents. Somebody will play or somebody will mention something in chat, and we'll go off on a tangent and play a bunch of Broadway show tunes for a half hour. We don't do that every night, but it happens.
That's probably why I play my Soric instead of my Agent Healing, because I have so many cast times with my sorcerer that I can reach over and click a thumbs up on Turntable while I'm casting. Whereas when I was playing my agent, it's a lot of instant casts, less time for Turntable.
Yeah. If I switch over on tank for a night, I tend to not jump up and DJ on those nights. Cause I can't shuffle my queue as much as I want to. Another thing we do with shuffling the queue is you get in some of those hairy final phase boss fights, and the challenge is to time the music right so you've got exactly the right song playing when everybody's running around like a chicken with their heads cut off at the end, like the fights in TFB.
Right. The first time that happened was when we got Kephas the Undying down for the first time, and in that phase three when we're running around all over the place and everybody's like 95% dead, that's when the Benny Hill music came on. It was
Yakety Sax. Yeah. Pell dropped that. He was pro in setting that up. So yeah, we're all the bombs are dropping. Kephas is in the middle. You've got the bombs everywhere. You just need to avoid them and keep DPSing them down that last 8% or whatever. And Yakety Sax is playing the whole time.
Yeah. That was awesome.
It was perfect. So yes, Turntable, I highly recommend it. I've used other solutions with other raid groups, like somebody will have a bot and or somebody will be DJing through their own audio feed, and they just to me it doesn't work as well. It's harder to control the volume. It's harder. Usually it's only one person picking the music or taking requests, and Turntable's just worked out really well from that perspective.
Yeah.
So what else do we do?
We also... The way we approach gearing up, and I'm sure there's other raid teams that did this, but for a period of time, we do a method that we called triple threat, where we would do the weekly operations quests for two different instances and then Taboro's Courtyard as well, so that we got the most commendations out of the experience, and that in turn made it easier for us to gear up. And what I mean by the weekly is there's a weekly operations quest for Terror from Beyond that you have to do the first three bosses. And then there's one for Scum and Villainy where you have to do the first three bosses. So we would do three bosses in Terror from Beyond and then three bosses in Scum and Villainy. And that would maximize the number of accommodations that we had. We'd go back and buy gear and be more prepared to do the bosses that are further into the instances then quicker.
Yeah, I like that. When we were really focused on comms and getting the gear to start, you know, we'd call it triple threat. We'd get in there, we'd do it. We got good at getting it down. And when you're grinding out the comms, rather than having to go through a whole instance, you know, to get through the end, go into three different places over the course of a couple hours and change of scenery and in and out. And we're relatively efficient in doing it. It's not like herding a bunch of cats trying to get them in between each of the instances, which you would need to be on the ball. But I had a lot of fun with it, and I think it shakes it up for people and keeps them interested for the evening.
That third boss hits the ground and Maki is in Vince saying, okay, exit area, go to Scum and Villainy. And pretty much we loot, we're out, yeah. we go.
Yeah,
and it was good because
zone in, and then you get a 5-minute break.
I mean, we were not really that excited to do Terror from Beyond again because we had done it at level 50 quite a bit. And it was just good that we could, you know, get in there and get out and then try the new place with Scum and Villainy, which was, you know, a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And what else? We do, well, we've been shaking things up a couple other ways. We turned our midweek run into a 16-man. We've pulled in most of the other ops team on one of their off nights and subbed in some people here and there that weren't on an ops team. We were, you know, we had a night where we were running through content. It was the same old content. We were, you know, we weren't ready to get into hard mode for, I think that was for Scum and Villainy in particular at the time. And we decided, well, hey, let's shake it up. Let's turn it into a 16-man. Let's get more people involved. And I think that's worked out pretty well.
I agree. I think the 16-man is a lot of fun because even though we're hitting the same content, it's just so different to have 16 people in there. And oh my gosh, having four healers is just, I feel, you know, like I could just wander around and do nothing and the other three healers would take care of everything. So it's like a luxury. It's like a luxury stroll through the raid content for me when we do 16-man.
Yeah, same on DPS. You know, you can lose a DPS or two or have somebody not paying attention. I was doing some officer business, doing some invites last week during the 16-man. I'm like way behind. I'm back by the previous boss and everybody's almost up to the next boss. I'm like, wait, don't start it or I'll get locked out. Cause I'm, you know, go ahead. You clear the trash for me. I'll be there. And it worked out great.
And it's good for us too, because someone who's a brand new 55 could come along on this run and we could carry them through.
Yeah. Yeah. So it gives us an opportunity to sub more people in to do that. Now we've got our internal guild pug run once every few weeks where we do a 16-man specifically where people that aren't on an ops team get priority. But this is any open spots. We get people in as much as we can.
Right.
And then which I think every other ops team is doing, we're progressing to hard modes when we can. Switching it up and putting a hard mode boss in at the end of the night or at the beginning of the night, throwing in some nightmare mode content when we can. We're not very hardcore, so we're not plowing through content. But because we're not, we've had to do some of these kinds of things to keep things interesting because we do stay on content for quite a while.
Right.
So total, we're only about 4.5 to 5 hours of raiding tops a week operations. We do, you know, 2 hours max on max. 2 hours max on Sunday and 3 hours max on Wednesday.
No, the other way around.
Yeah, you're right. I don't even pay attention. I'm DPS. Why do I care?
I mean, the reason for that is basically people have lives. And so we try to end our raids. That's another thing we do to keep it, at least for me in LOL, to keep it fresh, is that we end when we say we're going to end. It doesn't like go on into the night because we've almost got a boss down. It's like, you know, you can count on being able to get to bed at the time you need to get to bed, to get up in the morning, take care of the kids or go to the work or whatever. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, we are we start on time and we end on time. And any raid team, any operations team that can do that, I would encourage getting to that point. Just come have Makia give you some lessons.
yeah.
And he'll whip you into shape. Yeah, good. Anything else to keep our stuff fun? Anything else to answer this brave soul's question who sent us in this commentary?
You mean Mr. Not Max?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to send him some sort of prize of some kind because he deserves it.
I would say the other thing that we do, whether, you know, we're not afraid to take a break, like a week off here and there or a couple weeks if there's a reason for it. When the expat came out, we actually took a month off from operations while everybody played around with the new content and leveled one or two characters. And I think that's helped a lot also.
Yeah. Content development is difficult and slow in any game, in any MMO. Plowing through all the content as fast as you can, being first can be fun. That can be a blast. But if you consume all that content, it makes it tough for an operations team to stay together and still be interested, a month or two down the road.
Right.
Well, I think little SEPC-02 here is all filled up and we are about ready to go. You all set, little guy? Good. So thanks for tuning in. For feedback, comments, or for your own questions, so not Max doesn't have to keep sending in questions for future casts, we can be found on Twitter at MaxTheGray and at AIESEMA, or come play with us on Jedi Covenant. Come track us down. For AIE Guild information, you can visit aie-guild.org and submit an application, or find us on Facebook now at AIE SWOTOR. Talk to you soon.
Goodbye.